Well, good morning. If you'd like to pause your conversations there for now, we'll move on to the Bible reading. So today's Bible reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. If you're reading from the Bible's handed to you at the front, it's on page 1609. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
We're working through Romans 8 at the moment. Just started, actually, just like we're about to. We're going to do 3 weeks in Romans 8. And the reason I picked this chapter is because it reminds us that God's for us. So it's easy to let that slip from mind. But Romans 8 is a beautiful chapter in the Bible because it actually reminds us that God is essentially for us. After that, we're doing 1 Corinthians 11 to 14. So if you're looking for something to read in your quiet time, you might want to have a bit of a read of that. It's a very controversial part of the Bible, actually quite divisive as well. But Simon's going to be taking us through that across church in the first part of next term. But for now, we're doing Romans 8. I feel like this chapter I could actually do, this section, sorry, that Michael just read, we could do 3 talks by itself. It's quite dense, but I haven't got time for that. So I'm just going to speak for about 90 minutes this morning instead. Hope you don't mind. Just kidding. Probably only be about half that. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks that you speak to us in the Bible. Lord, we pray that your Spirit, as you promise, would not let your word return to you empty after we've heard it now, Father. We pray indeed that it would work in our hearts, these hard hearts, Lord, these tired hearts. We pray that you would transform us to be the women and the men that you've made us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I've noticed since I've been living in Townsville, and this went down like a bit of a lead balloon in the morning service because I know it's a very sensitive issue here as well, is that when you move here, a lot of people just start supporting the Cowboys. Not everyone does, right? And this isn't an illustration about rugby league in case you're thinking, oh, I hate sport, here we go. This is a commentary on society, right? Okay, in Townsville. Not everyone supports the Cowboys, but people who live here tend to be more interested in, like, sport in the Cowboys than they otherwise would be living in any other location in the universe. They change location and they change teams. Or even more than that, I've noticed a lot of people move to Townsville who didn't even like rugby league, and they actually start to take an interest in the Cowboys. It's phenomenal. I'd say there's more NRL loyalty in Townsville than anywhere else in the universe. Like anywhere. For example, if you fly to an airport in Newcastle or Canberra or Sydney or Melbourne or New York, you'll be greeted by like an ad for Audi, a billboard, right? For Audi. Or you'll get a billboard for like Lynx Africa or something. As you come into Townsville Airport, there's a giant life-size photo of the Cowboys saying, "This is Cowboys country." Like, we're that serious. Like, this is what we've got to offer you here. This is what we're about. In fact, we do our public service announcements with Cowboys players. At the moment, we're trying to encourage people to watch water consumption by listening to some Cowboys players. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, right? I think people at 8:30 thought I was mocking them. I'm not mocking what you guys are about. But what I'm saying is, if you move here, you're likely to embrace the team. Not everybody does. We're coming into the book of Romans, which seems like a bit of a stretch from what I was just talking about. We're a fairly long way through by the time we get to chapter 8. But essentially what the Apostle Paul's been communicating to his readers in the early church in Rome up to this point is, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you've moved. You've changed location. You used to live in one realm, now you live in a different realm. In Christ Jesus, a term Paul loves to use in his letters, through faith in Christ Jesus, you've changed. You were condemned. You used to live under the realm of sin and death, the realm of flesh, but then you put your faith in Christ Jesus and you move to the realm of the Spirit, life. And what he's urging his readers to do here is to know that and to embrace that. Actually embrace where you live, he's saying. You live under the realm of the Spirit, live for it. Actually follow its lead. Keep in step with it. So if you've got your Bibles open at Romans 8, we're going to be working through that. I'll have the passages up on the screen as well. I think the thing we need to ask ourselves as we read this is, do we understand where we live if our faith is in Christ? Do we understand that we're in the Spirit if we're in Christ? And are we embracing it? Well, the first thing we see is that the Spirit has set us free from condemnation if our faith is in Christ. From verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is a big announcement. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Despite the fact that Paul was really adamant earlier in the letter that everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we no longer stand condemned before God. Verse 2 tells us, this is because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free. The law of the Spirit, what's that? Sounds very wafty, doesn't it? Ethereal. Well, the law of the Spirit is the good news that Jesus has died to pay for our sin, and that he's risen to defeat death, and that he reigns with the Father. That's the law of the Spirit. It's called the law of the Spirit because only the Spirit can open our eyes to comprehend that. If it wasn't for the Spirit working on us, we wouldn't come at that. It's not natural. It's not part of our natural self. But the Spirit's revealed the truth. Only the Spirit can do that. If our faith is in Jesus, Paul says, we're set free. The Spirit who gives life has set us free. We're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from death. The Spirit has given us life. Verse 3 says, for what the law was powerless to do. This is what's super confusing about Paul, because he's just talked about the law of the Spirit setting us free, and now he talks about the law again, but he's talking about a different law, right? Very obscure. Needed a good editor. I believe it's the Word of God, though, so I don't want to say it's wrong or anything, but it's so confusing. What law was powerless? Well, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about God's law. And it wasn't that the law was bad, but it was powerless to do what it was meant to do. It couldn't help us to be right with God. The law was meant to help us live obedient lives to God and set us free from condemnation. The law would declare us righteous. But the law was powerless to do that because of our sinful flesh. The law actually left us condemned instead of righteous. But what the law was powerless to do, verse 3 says, God did. God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of human flesh. This is the incredible plan, right? We can't do what we need to do. We can't be good enough for God. We can't be righteous by ourselves. In fact, because we're unrighteous, the law leaves us condemned. So what's God's plan to redeem us from condemnation? How is he going to save this sinful flesh? He sends his Son in the likeness of human flesh. He sends his Son to be condemned, to condemn sin in sinful flesh, in human flesh. That's God's plan to redeem us. He sends his Son to be condemned in our place. And if you get that, if you believe that, if you're sitting there thinking, I already know that, is that the take home from today's talk? Don't underestimate that that's a miracle. The Spirit's actually performed a work in your life to reveal that to you. Not everybody hears that and goes, oh, well, here we go again. Jesus died on the cross for me, great. No, most people hear that and go, what a load of rubbish. I'm not interested in that. But you know what's happened for you? The Spirit who gives you life has set you free. It's worked on you. It's opened up your eyes to the truth of the gospel. It's performed a miracle in your heart. You used to live under the realm of sin and death, the realm of flesh, but the Spirit who gives life has opened up your eyes. It's brought you under its wing. If your faith is in Jesus, you've transferred from the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. We don't get Maccas very often as a family, my family, but when we do, it's very expensive. Recently, one of our kids, Billy, taught my beautiful wife that we could get a discount on family meals. If you don't know my wife, she loves a discount. Whenever we go to a coffee shop, she uses the loyalty card, and she'll make me get the loyalty card punched when I pay for it, and I hate that. I just feel like such a scab, and so I've actually recently entered into a strike on that. I won't pay for the food now. She'll pay for it because I just can't. I don't want to steal from people, right? Anyway, talk to me about it afterwards. She loves this Macca's app because now on the family meals, we get a massive discount. And so it's saving our family lots of money. But we wouldn't have known that unless Billy had opened our eyes to it. See, what I'm doing here is I'm saying Billy's like the Spirit with the gospel. And Macca's is like the gospel, except don't think about that too much, right? Paul's telling believers here, if their faith is in Christ Jesus, it's because the Spirit who gives life has opened their eyes up to see the truth, to set us free from condemnation. Be assured, if your faith is in Jesus, the Spirit has worked on you. It's evidence that you've transferred realms. You no longer belong to the realm of the flesh, even though you feel like a sinner, right? If you get the gospel, if you believe what Christ has done for you, you've moved. It's a miracle. We often look at the miraculous work of the Spirit in this regard, and we kind of think, so what? A lot of us think about our testimony, the story of how we come to faith, is boring. I became a Christian in my early 20s, right? I've got a really interesting testimony because I did some dodgy stuff, and then I heard the gospel, Spirit opened my eyes, I came to Christ. And so you might go, oh, that's so interesting, my testimony is so boring. I just grew up in a Christian family, and I sort of one day realized that what my parents taught me was true, and it's not very interesting. Do you know what? It's a miracle. If your faith is in Jesus, even if you were raised in a Christian family, it's a miracle. The Spirit who gives life has opened your eyes to see that you're free from condemnation in Christ Jesus. That is not a natural thing. Not everybody who is raised in a Christian family ends up believing that message. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. God's brought you from the realm of sin and death to the realm of the Spirit. He's moved you from death to life. And Paul goes on to say, not only has the Spirit moved us from death to life, not only has it changed the realms we live in, it's changed our minds too. So the Spirit's worked on us, but it also works in us. Have a look from verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So when we come to Christ, our minds change. Our desires change. When we lived according to the flesh, we only thought about what the flesh desired, what pleasures we could see and take for ourselves, what material possessions we could see and take for ourselves, what worldly recognition we could see and take for ourselves, what success we could see and take for ourselves. Our life was about building our own kingdom, showing the world how great our towers and walls are. We only ever thought about securing our own kingdom when we lived according to the flesh. But when the Spirit worked on us to open our eyes to the freedom we have through Jesus, it also came to dwell in us, and it redirects our minds. Now we want to live lives that are pleasing to God. Now when lust or greed or whatever else comes knocking at the door, it meets conflict. It used to walk straight in, but now there's a conflict. We no longer openly embrace lust and getting drunk and being greedy and gossip and slander. We wrestle with it. We don't want to do it. Because the Spirit is changing our minds. It's transforming us. We want to live to please God. We have an inner conviction. The Spirit's changing our minds. Verse 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Of course it is. It sounds really full on, because you think there are lots of people in the world who aren't Christian who do nice things. But Paul says here, if they're governed by the flesh, their mind's hostile to God, because they're not doing those good things for God. They're either doing it because it makes them feel good, or they're doing it to get recognition from others, but they're not doing it for the God who made them. Verse 8 says that those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God, because they simply aren't living for him. But Paul says from verse 9, you, that is his readers, are not in the realm of the flesh. Remember, you've moved. You're in the realm of the Spirit. Their faith in Christ is evidence of that. Verse 10 says, even though their bodies are subject to the penalty of death because of sin, we all die because sin's in the world, the Spirit gives their bodies life. How does the Spirit give our bodies life? Well, it opens our minds up to the truth of the gospel, that we're free from condemnation in Christ. So even though we die, we live, and one day God will raise these mortal bodies to life. So the Spirit gives our bodies life like that. But also, it transforms these bodies so that these hands that only ever were used for sin and self-service and self-glorification can now be used to serve God. Now I can clean the church toilets. Now I can mow the lawn. Now I can shake the hands of somebody who I otherwise wouldn't have sought to bother with, because the Spirit has transformed my mind and it's giving life to my mortal body. It's actually helping me to do the good works that God's prepared in advance for me to do. The Spirit's worked on us to change the realm that we live in, but it's also working in us to help us to see the goodness of living God's way. For a long time in my life, I had no regard for cyclists. I'm sorry if you're a cyclist. If you're a Cycling Cowboys fan, this hasn't been a good morning for you. I thought it wasn't a real sport, cycling, because there's a lot of resting in cycling, right? You ride up a hill, but then you can just glide down the hill. Is that really a sport? It's like sitting on a couch or something. And I also got angry about the way that cyclists use the road. I kind of got quite bitter about that. Not as bitter as my wife gets about it, but one day things changed for me, because I started spending a significant portion of my life with cyclists. I started working with some cyclists, and they opened my eyes to see that cyclists actually aren't all bad people. Cycling is a legit sport. In fact, it can be quite grueling. You have to train for it if you want to be good at it. And I've also learnt that most cyclists actually don't set out to irritate drivers. They're actually trying to obey the rules. spending time with Cyclas has changed my mind. How much more so if God himself comes to live in us? Should it change our view of God? Should it change our desire to live for him? Should it help us to understand that he's actually not some oppressive overlord, but he's for us? That's what the Spirit does. It lives in us, it helps us to see what God is like, and it transforms us to be for him. It's the Spirit that applies the scriptures to my heart. When I read them, I'm convinced that God's for me because I see what he's done for me in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I see what he has for me in glory. And I say to myself, man, God's for me. So when he tells me how I ought to use my sexuality, when he tells me how I ought to use my money, when he tells me how I ought to be towards my neighbour, maybe he's not trying to oppress me. Maybe he actually wants good for me. Maybe these things are actually the best thing for me. That's how the Spirit works in us. It shows us the goodness of God. It says, hey, guess what? God's for you. And we start to go, yeah, actually, I believe that. And now I want to live his way. I used to think living for God was oppressive, but now that the Spirit lives in me, I can see that living for God's actually good because God's actually for me. If you see the goodness of God, if you want to live his way, if you're fighting the fight, like if you're wrestling to say no to sin, be assured that's a miracle. That's actually not natural. The motto of our world is you do you, or as long as it's true for you. If you have a different motto that's along the lines of God is for me and I want to live his way, then that's a sign that God's indwelling work of the Spirit is happening in your life. Paul says to his readers here, the Spirit's worked on you to help you see Jesus, but it also works in you, changing your mind, changing your life to be like Jesus. And since God's done this for us by his life-giving Spirit, Paul says in our last section, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to embrace our new location, to embrace the Spirit, to keep in step with it. Have a look from verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, if you want to live in that realm, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Paul's not saying that if we do good, we'll live. If we do bad, we'll die. He's saying, no, if you're in Christ, if you put your faith in Jesus, you've transformed realms. So you ought to keep in step with the Spirit. You actually have an obligation to do that. The Spirit helps us to know what we ought not to do. Paul says, you actually fulfill your obligation to it by not doing it. You know you ought not be greedy. You know that. The Spirit convicts you in your heart. You keep in step with that by not being greedy. Say no to greed. Say no to sexual immorality. Say no to selfishness. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. You live in a different place now. Embrace it. In fact, from verse 14, he says you're a different person. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. He's saying, you're a child of God. You ought to be led by the Spirit. Notice in verse 15, he says, the Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves, that is to sin, so that you live in fear, that is of condemnation. Rather, the Spirit you've received, verse 15 says, brought about adoption to sonship. When the Spirit worked on you and came to dwell in you, the adoption papers were signed, sealed, and delivered. You became a child of God. So much so, verse 15 says, that we can now cry out, Abba, Father. So when we're tempted to live for ourselves again, when we're tempted to think God's not for us and to live our own way, we can actually cry out to our Father and he'll help us. That's what we have now in Christ. Paul says, the Spirit's worked on us, it's working in us, and he urges us, live out our new life. Cry out to your Father for help, you can do that. You're in a different realm. You have an obligation to embrace Spirit life. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. If you go to a Cowboys game as a fan of an away team, say, for example, like you went for St. George Dragons and you went to a game and you were wearing your Dragons shirt, It could be a bit scary. Some of the fans might say aggressive things towards you, as though they don't want you in their ground, as though you're the enemy. And it's understandable, right? They're for the Cowboys. They don't want to tolerate the opponents getting a foot in the door. They don't want to allow that to happen. I think that's how Christians are meant to be with sin. Like, we know that sin is not good. We know that, like, living God's way is the best way to live because he's for us. And so I think we're meant to have, like, a zero tolerance policy with it. We're meant to shout it down and get it out of our life. If our faith is in Christ, we have that obligation. Friends, let me ask, is your faith in Jesus Christ? Has that miracle of hearing the good news and believing it, seeing the condemnation of Christ on your behalf, has that sunk into your head? If it hasn't, or if you've considered it and think, I don't really know, can I just re-advertise Christianity Explored? It starts on the 15th of July, right? Which is the day after Bastille Day, which I know is a big day for a lot of you guys. Starts on the 15th of July, and it's 7 hours all up. 1 hour every Monday night from 7:30 to 8:30. And you could get to know about the freedom that you have in Jesus if you do this course. It could change your life. It may not. I reckon probably, I'd say most people who do it, they come away from it going, no, I'm not really sure this is for me. But there are quite a few people who've done it who've gone, you know what, this is the best news I've ever heard. Can I encourage you, if you haven't considered Jesus, maybe even now the Spirit's prompting you to consider him, to get to know him, to see the freedom you could have in Christ. But if you have put your faith in Christ, if you do live in the realm of the Spirit, are you embracing it? Have you put on the new team colours? Are you taking sin seriously? Are you putting it to death? Can I tell you, often we go on sinning, or I do, and I'm going to speak on your behalf as well. Often we go on sinning because we want to. And that's the truth of it. We want to, and even though we know it's not our best life, we want to do it. We want to look at this thing or do that thing. We want to talk about this thing or say that thing. So we do it, and Satan tells us it's hopeless because you're hopeless. This is who you are. You're a sinner, right? And we tell ourselves we can't change because Satan's in our ear saying you can't change. But that's not true. We actually don't have to go on sinning if we're in Christ. Our life has changed. We're sons and daughters of God. Our mind is being changed. We're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters. We can cry out to our Father for help. In Discipleship Explored this term, we heard how when Augustine, an early Christian, was young, he engaged in a lot of sexual immorality. I didn't know that about him, but it's true, he did. When he came to understand the gospel, when he came to understand that he was a son of God in whom the Spirit dwelled, it changed him. And one day he was walking down the street and one of the women that he used to be with called out to him and he ignored her. And she said, Augustine, Augustine, it's I. And he says that he actually said to her, yes, but it's no longer I. I'm in Christ. See, what he's saying is, I'm a new creation. I'm a son of God. I live in the realm of the Spirit. I'm not who I used to be. I don't think he went through the rest of his life never sinning again. But he knew in the Spirit that he was in Christ and that he could say no to sin, that he had an obligation. And I think we're all in that boat if our faith is in Christ Jesus. We're no longer our old self. We're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters. And so when sin comes knocking at our door, we can say to it, that's no longer me. I'm in Christ. I live in the realm of the Spirit. It's as easy as that, right? No, it's actually really hard, but we can cry out, Abba Father, and ask him for help. So let's do that now as we finish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that if our faith is in Christ, we've shifted from the reign of sin and death into the realm of life and the Spirit. Father, thank you that your Spirit has worked on us, and right now it's working in our hearts and in our minds, transforming us. Lord, we pray you'd strengthen us. Father, we pray you'd strengthen us to say no to sin, to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Lord, help us to remember that in Christ we are your sons and daughters. Father, when we're faced with temptation, help us to know that we're no longer slaves. Help us to say no. Help us to cry out to you, the God who is for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.